Good day, good people. I'm Brother Robert Farrell. Welcome to Contemplative Inner Being's Wisdom Wednesday. Wisdom Wednesday is recorded live on Crowdcast, and we invite all of our podcast and YouTube listeners to join us each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central here on Crowdcast. That way you too can become part of the dialogue and conversation that happens after our musings and reflections. And whether you are here for the live session or you are enjoying the recording, thank you so much for being part of Contemplative Inner Being's Wisdom Wednesday. If you will, let me know in the chat section here in Crowdcast that you can hear me okay. And if at any time there is an audio or video issue, just drop a note there in the chat section. We'll pause and get that corrected the best we can. Well, what is wisdom? Well, wisdom is not knowing more. It's actually knowing with more of you. It's knowing deeper. And so Wisdom Wednesday is an invitation to open to the depths of yourself, your intellect, your will, your emotions, to all of you. Yes, just open up to the ground of wisdom, which is really the transformation of human consciousness and the heart. Or we might say this evening, the resurrection of our human consciousness and heart. Today, we will encounter three brief wisdom musings, and each one of those is going to be followed by about a minute of silence where you are invited to the spiritual practice of resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Our four R words that are our watchwords. Resonate. Does something connect with you? It might be symbolized by a single word or a phrase you hear. Reflect. Well, that's an opportunity just to meditate with images and thoughts. Respond. You can respond by journaling, by prayer, by body movement. And rest. Simply be silent and open to the presence and action of divine love in your life. Then we're going to close with a spiritual practice and a group dialogue. Today's theme is resurrection. And before we get into our musings, I just want to share, you know, that most of us connect resurrection with Christianity, but resurrection is a universal principle. And the Christian story, of course, helps us see what resurrection is and is about, but it's something that's happening all the time and everywhere. So let us begin with an open heart, a calm, centered presence. Take a gentle breath and listen with the ears of your heart. As we say in the eternal Christ mystery, Jesus was killed and Christ arose. Yes, still Jesus, but now including and revealing everything else in its full purpose and glory. So when we believe in Jesus Christ, we're believing in two things, Jesus Christ, and we're believing in something much bigger than the historical incarnation that we call Jesus of Nazareth. You can think of it as Jesus is the invisible map. Jesus is the union of human and divine in space and time. And Christ is the eternal union of matter and spirit from the beginning of time. So let me say that again. Jesus is the union of human and divine in space and time, and Christ is the eternal union of matter and spirit from the beginning of time. The entire sweep of the meaning of the Anointed One, the Greek word is the Christ, the Anointed One, actually includes us and all of creation since the beginning of time. And through this, we can more easily experience the presence that has always been available since the beginning of time. A presence unlimited by space or time. The promise and guarantee of our own transformation. The eternal Christ mystery, or the risen Christ, rather than Jesus of Nazareth, is really the only Jesus that Paul ever knew. He didn't know Jesus of Nazareth. And this omnipresent risen Christ is the only Jesus we will ever know as well. Knowing and experiencing this Christ can bring about a major shift in our thinking and our life. And resurrection is a pattern of creation that has always been true and that invites us to much more than just a belief in a miracle. Resurrection and renewal are, in fact, the universal and observable pattern of everything. Like springtime, like regeneration, like healing, like forgiveness, like life cycles, like darkness and light. Incarnation is real, and spirit has inhabited matter from the beginning. Thus, resurrection in multitudinous forms is to be fully expected. So this Christ mystery actually anoints all physical matter, and it anoints it with eternal purpose from the very beginning. And Jesus the Christ reveals that all is anointed. It is a Christ-soaked world. God inhabits matter. Thus, we can naturally believe in the resurrection of the body. Yes, resurrection is a pattern of creation. One reason that we can trust Jesus' resurrection is that we can already see resurrection happening everywhere else. Nothing is the same forever. So resurrection is just another word for positive change, for positive transformation. Life is not ended. It is merely changed. It is merely transformed. Jesus's first incarnate life, His passing over into death, and His resurrection into the ongoing Christ life is the archetypal model for the entire pattern of creation. Anointed everything. And He is the microcosm for the whole cosmos, the map of the whole journey. Friends, let's take a breath here and let's take an opportunity with this resurrection to resonate, reflect, respond, rest. I sense it's difficult to sit in the silence and rest because this is what you call really good stuff, right? It's one of those things that you wish you would hear every Sunday at church. But let us continue. Our participation in the eternal life of God can have a profound effect. We are reconciled to taking up the work of the world. We come again into everyday life. The transformation is still going on, both in ourselves and in the world that we touch. And we are looking now from a point of view that is rooted in our sense of our own reality in God. It makes everything look quite new to us. And our new ability to offer love and meaning energy to our world. Resurrection starts in our lives now and transforms our engagement with the world. When we take a little time to remember, to look, to marvel, we find that there are sources of joy, of aesthetic delight, of quiet happiness on every hand. And our joy is not confined to ourselves, but radiates out to all. Our joy, our peace, and happiness envelop all those around us. Perceiving creation, perceiving creative action and interaction as reality itself, we feel ourselves fully living, full of the richness of God's life. The interior fountain that never fails. And the reality of God is intensely perceived as present in everything. Everything. The kingdom is right here now, even in the passions and illusions of our superficial consciousness. And when we are shaken awake, we see it. I believe it was Howard Thurman that talked about the glad surprise. You know, death, while inevitable, while altering our dreams and causing us to let go of everything, does not have the final word. There is always, always, always resurrection. Did I say always? Resurrection is a transformation in consciousness. It's an experience of transcendence in which we live out of the connectedness that is our truth. We not only walk in light, we become light for others. Even little resurrections that come after choosing to die to fear, to die to egocentricity. All of those little deaths release the spirit because life and death are a single mystery. Death is inevitable, but so is resurrection. When we can be awake and watchful for the resurrections, for the creative ways that new life streams into our lives, even in the midst of death. It is an ever new thing. It is a glad surprise, the stirring of life at the end of winter. I know that this month of April you have seen it. One day there seems to be no sign of life, and then almost overnight, swelling buds, delicate blooms, blades of grass, bugs, insects, an entire world of newness everywhere. Yes, be shaken awake, come into consciousness. It is all around you. Resurrection is the announcement that life cannot ultimately be conquered by death, that there is strength added when the labors increase, that multiplied peace matches multiplied trials, that life is bottomed by the glad surprise. And in this resurrection, we resonate, we reflect, we respond, we rest. You see, friends, it's true. You don't have to be Christian to be understanding of resurrection. Matter of fact, as soon as you see that resurrection is happening all around you, you might just be Christian. Yes, because transformation in consciousness is resurrection. It is light and life and love. It is that Howard Thurman phrase of the glad surprise, that we are fully alive, that those who seek a full and fuller life, those are the ones who seek resurrection. If you seek a full and fuller life, you are seeking resurrection. If you seek resurrection, you are seeking a full and fuller life, that you may have life, life in abundance. To be resurrection for another, I need to be resurrection for myself. That means I cannot dwell in despair and death and anger and oppression and submission and resentment and pain forever. I need to wake up. I need to get up. I need to rise up. I need to put on life, even when days are dark and my soul is down and shadows surround me everywhere. Be resurrection, rise up and be counted, rise up and imbibe the good news deeply that death does not conquer, that life, not death, has the last word. Resurrection carries both grace and responsibility. Resurrection is a commitment to hope and creativity, to the Spirit who makes all things new. Resurrection is the Spirit's work. It is the life of the Spirit. And nothing can separate us from the love of God, from my love of life, because God is life. Thus we say, I am fully alive and fully in love with life, which means that I feel fully the presence of God in me. Become resurrection in life. Bring aliveness and plenty of hope into the world. The core message of the incarnation of God is that the divine presence is here in us and in all of creation, and not only over there in some far-off realm, not only there 2,000 years ago in Jesus of Nazareth. And the resurrection confirms what the incarnation anticipates, because Christ, the word Christ, is just another name for everything. You see, Christ shows himself, but under another form, a transformed form. And every resurrection story seems to strongly affirm an ambiguous yet certain presence in every ordinary setting. Like walking on the road to Emmaus with a stranger, roasting fish on the beach, or one who appeared to be and looked like a gardener. So next time you look and you see a stranger on the street, someone cooking on the beach, or a gardener, you are seeing the resurrected Christ. These moments from Scripture set a stage of expectation and desire that God's presence can be seen in the ordinary and the material, and that we do not have to wait for supernatural apparitions. The visible and tactile are the primary doorway to the invisible. Let me say that again. The visible and tactile are the primary doorway to the invisible. Yes, look to the sky, but also look to everything around you. Because Christ is the light that allows people to see things in their fullness. Put that one in the chat section. Christ is the light that allows people to see things in their fullness. Christ is our word for the light that allows people to see things in their fullness. The anointed material is the light that allows people to see things in their fullness. And a true Christian sees Christ in everything and everyone else. That's the definition of a Christian. When you can see Christ in everything and everyone else. When you begin to exclude the Christ from this group or that group, you're no longer Christian. And that is a definition that will never fail us. It will always demand more of us. It gives us no reasons to fight, exclude, or reject anyone. So in this, we can resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Is it fitting to see the volcano exploding behind me after all those musings? Well, thank you for your presence and your open hearts in receiving those reflections and musings on resurrection. Each Wisdom Wednesday, I'd like to share with you a spiritual practice. This one is one that I can just describe to you, and that you will have to, if you so choose, spend time with it in length later. This is called Imagining Our Cosmic Origin, and it comes from the Catholic writer Judy Canato. She describes the pattern of death to new life, which began with the Big Bang, and then invites us to consider our cosmic origin. So this is from Judy. It seems that the giving over of life on behalf of ever-expanding creativity is integral to life itself. The massive star that was mother to our sun met with fiery death, her form completely annihilated by the explosive force of the blast. And yet, she exists in each of us, in the cells of our bodies that are composed of her dust. Consciously or not, we carry her within us as surely as we carry the DNA of our biological parents. We are the children for whom she sacrificed all. So in this practice, imagine that you are a witness to the supernova that gave birth to our sun. See the giant burning star grow redder and redder and then die as it explodes into billions of pieces, rippling space and spewing cosmic debris in all directions. Acknowledge the loss that this death has brought about. Envision the debris from the supernova interact with a great cloud of hydrogen. And then see bits and pieces pulled together by gravity and take the shape of a new star. Then watch as the sun cools and begins a regular rotation that holds planets in orbit. Identify those planets that you know: Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto. And bring your attention back to Earth. And then see how her outer crust hardens, how the seas gather together, and how life begins to emerge. Become aware of how closely connected our life is to the sun. Then take time to ponder what new perceptions about life and death are emerging in you. What new perceptions about life and death are emerging in you? What is it that you want to say to the Creator? And what are the supernova experiences of your own life? Where have you encountered the life-death-life-death movement that is a painful yet necessary part of the universe? And sit quietly for a moment. and reflect on what does the Spirit want you to see. How do you respond? That comes from Judy Canato's book, Radical Amazement. I'm intrigued by the title. Yes, take time to imagine your own cosmic origin. That is the spiritual practice this week. And before we enter into our dialogue session with the Crowdcast group, let us say good evening to our podcast and YouTube listeners. We hope that you will join us. Please remember that love is the way. Love is the way of resurrection, and that you are love. So resurrect and be love. We hope to see you here on Crowdcast with us one day soon. Thank you.